bottom of Tzadi Aleph Amid Beis, three lines from the bottom. So the Gemara says, Amar Rami Bar Chama, Ruvin Shemachar Sada LeShimon Shelo Ba'achrayas, Va'asa Shimon Umachro LeRuvin Ba'achrayas, Va'asa Balchov DeRuvin V'Katarif Flamine, Dinahu De'azel Shimon Umavtzile. So it comes to Gemara with the following case. Ruvin sells a field to Shimon without a guarantee. What does that mean, a guarantee? So usually a guarantee means that if it turns out that I, as the seller, I had some creditors who are now going to come to you and seize that land and repossess it, I have to compensate you for the loss. That would be a guarantee. If there's no guarantee, so then you take all the risk by buying the land and hope that my creditors don't show up to your door. So Reuven sells a field to Shimon without a guarantee. Then Shimon turns around and sells that field back to Reuven with a guarantee. Then what happens? One of Reuven's creditors comes and repossesses land from Shimon. So the halacha is that Shimon can go to Reuven and demand compensation because Reuven guaranteed that he would pay Shimon back. So Amar le Rava nehi da achrayas da alma kabil alei, achrayas da nafshe mi kabil alei. So Rava pushes back on this. Rava says no. Rava says that Reuven accepted achrayas is only talking about a scenario where some external creditor comes in. If it's Reuven's own creditor, he himself had an obligation that was already on the books, so Shimon is not obligated to compensate him for that. However, the Gemara points out, Umoda Rava, Veruven sheyarash sada miyakov, umachra le Shimon shalo ba'achrayas, v'asa Shimon umachra le Reuven ba'achrayas, v'asa balchov diyakov v'katarif lemine, dina hu da'azlo Shimon umavtse lemine. My taima, balchov diyakov k'balchov da'almadame. However, even Rava concedes in the following case. Let's say Yaakov, the father, dies, and his son Reuven inherits a plot of land. He then turns around and sells that field to Shimon without a guarantee. Then Shimon goes ahead and sells the field back to Reuven with a guarantee. And now Yaakov's creditor comes along and repossesses the field from Shimon. So everyone agrees, even Rava agrees, that in that case Shimon is going to have to compensate him. Why? Because Yaakov's creditor is not considered like the equivalent of Reuven's creditor. Whereas in the previous case, Rava disagreed and said that when it's one's own creditor, in that case, Shimon never accepted responsibility to compensate him if the land got repossessed. Here, Yaakov's creditor is considered to be like an external creditor. It's as if he's not related to the people in the case, and therefore, even Rava agrees that he's going to have to compensate him for the land that was repossessed. Okay, then the Gemara says, Amar Rami Bar Chama, Reuven Shemachar Sada LeShimon Be'achrayos V'Zakaf Alav B'Milva V'Meis Reuven V'Asa Balchov De Reuven V'Katarif Lami Shimon Ufaisei Bezuzei Dinahu Da Amrile B'nei Reuven Anan Metaltele Shavak Avun Gabach U'Metaltele Diyasme Levalchov Lo Mishtabe. Comes the Gemara with another comment, with another statement of Rami Bar Chama. Reuven sells a field to Shimon with a guarantee. However, the way in which he sells the field is a little bit unique. He doesn't just sell him the field outright and pay him the money. He essentially takes out a line of credit. He says, I'm going to pay you back in the future. So it's in other words, it's effectively a loan that he's obligating himself to pay. Then what happens? Reuven dies. Now one of Reuven's creditors come and repossess the land from Shimon, but Shimon basically pays the guy off. He says, listen, I'll pay off Reuven's debt so that you don't repossess the land for me. And the Balchov acquiesces to that. So the halacha is now, once Shimon has done that, once Shimon has paid off Reuven's creditor, so now Reuven's Yorshim, Reuven's children, can now turn around to Shimon and say, listen, the only claim you have to our father now is metaltelin. In other words, before, he had this piece of land. Had the land simply been repossessed and he didn't pay off the creditor, he has every right to go to the Yorshim and say, listen, the land that your father sold me just got repossessed. I'm entitled to another piece of land or compensation. Me too. Correct.
No one has any claim.
One second. We didn't get to the monkey wrench in this case yet. The reason why this case is different, I was about to say, is because there are Yorshim involved here. Why does that make a difference? So as the Gemara points out, is that when Yorshim are involved, so even though I have a legitimate claim, everyone agrees that Shimon is owed money from Reuven or Reuven's estate. No one's debating that. The problem is that there's a halacha that metaltelin, if you have basically not karka, anything other than karka, there is no shiba. The Yorshim are not obligated to pay up metaltelin. Karka they have to pay up, but not metaltelin. So basically, because he paid off Reuven's creditor, he's now digging a hole for himself, and he's no longer able to collect on the Yorshim. So what's a very simple way around this? Amar Rava, ipikeach idach magvi lehuni halahu ara v'hadar gavi laminayu. Ki Rav Nachman, the Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rabba Baravua yisomim shegavu karka bechova savien balchov chozer v'gove osamehen. A very simple way to circumvent this is just to pay back the creditor using karka. In other words, instead of paying the guy off with money and satisfying his debt that way, you should just give him a plot of land, satisfy Reuven's debt with the land, and then he has every right to go back to the Yorshim and say, I'm still owed karka, which he is entitled to take from the Yorshim. So that's a very simple way, says Rava, to circumvent this problem. Okay, then the Gemara says, Amar Rabba, Reuven shemachar kol sadosav l'shimon, v'chazer shimon umachar sada achas l'levi, v'asa balchov de Reuven, ratzam yizeh goveh, ratzam yizeh goveh. V'lo amren el de zavna beninis, aval zavna idis viziburis, matzayomer le, l'hachi tarche uzvine ara de l'chazilach, uveninis nami lo amren el de l'shavak beninis dichvasa, aval shavak beninis dichvasa, matzayomer le hinachti l'chamakum ligvos heimenu. Now the Gemara comes with another halacha. Reuven sells all of his fields to Shimon. Shimon then turns around and sells one of those fields that he just bought to Levi. Then Reuven's creditor comes and he has a legitimate taina. Reuven owes him money. But again, Reuven has no fields left. Reuven sold everything to Shimon. Shimon then sold one of those fields. Let's say he bought 10 fields from Reuven. He sells one to Levi. So he now has 9 fields. Levi has 1. And now Reuven's creditor, Yehuda, comes along and is demanding that he be paid. So the Gemara says he can go to either one. He can either go to Shimon from one of his 9 fields or he can go to the one field that Levi has. So the Gemara says, however, that's only true in a case where he sold him Beninus. The halacha is, if you're a creditor, if you're a Baal Chov, so again, we know in halacha that there are 3 categories, there are 3 types of land. There's Idis, Beninus, and Ziburis. Idis is the highest quality land, Beninus is average, and Ziburis is the poorest or the lowest quality. Different types of people in halacha are entitled to different types of land. So for example, the Gemara says in Maseches Bava Kama that if a person was a Nizak, a person was a subject of damage, let's say their window got broken or something like that, so that if they're going to collect from land, they're entitled to collect from the highest quality. A Baal Chov is entitled to collect from Beninus. He's entitled to collect from average quality land. So the Gemara qualifies the statement and says, that which we said, that Reuven's creditor Yehuda can either go to Shimon or Levi and collect land from either one of them, that's assuming that he actually bought Beninus. He specifically bought average quality land to which the Baal Chov is entitled. However, if let's say he went out of his way to buy land that's either of the highest or the poorest quality, which is specifically land that a Baal Chov is not entitled to, so then Shimon can make the argument that the reason why I bought this land was specifically so that I would not have to give you the land. So that which we said in the Gemara that Reuven's creditor can go collect from anyone, that's assuming that all else is equal, that you have Beninus, and also the Gemara has a second qualifier, that the other party, that Levi, doesn't also have another piece of average quality land. But let's say both Shimon and Levi have the same average quality land in their possession, so then again, he can make that argument that I specifically left him that piece of land so that you can collect from him as opposed to from me. Okay, then the Gemara says, Amar Rabba,
yeah. How far down the line, let's say Levi sells it to Yitzchak sells that piece to...
Presumably the same halakha should apply, again, assuming that those 2 qualifying statements are not true, right? If neither party has the same quality of Beninus, or if he, you know, if he didn't specifically buy Idis or Ziburis. What? I assume the Gemara was just giving an example. I think it would be true if multiple people were to buy the land. Okay, then the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Reuven shemachar sada l'shimon ba'achrayos, v'asa balchov de Reuven v'katarif le'mine, dina hu da'azo Reuven u'mavtze le, v'lo matze amar le'lav bal dvarim di diat, mishum de'amar le'demavkas mini alai hadar, v'ika da'amri afilu shalo ba'achrayos nami, de'amar le'lo nechali de'sehevi le'lishimon taromes alai. Comes Gemara with another case. Reuven sells a field to Shimon with a guarantee. Reuven's creditor then comes along and repossesses the field from Shimon. The halacha is that Reuven can go and demand to be paid back. And even though you would think that Reuven is no longer a party in this case, he's no longer an involved party, he sold his land, he's out of the picture, so the Gemara says it's not true, because Reuven can make one of 2 claims. Either he can say, on a very practical level, well, if you, Levi, my creditor, go and repossess land from Shimon, he's going to then turn around and again, I'm going to have to pay him back. So Reuven can obviously get involved in the case. But then the Gemara says, even if he sold the field to Shimon without a guarantee. Now, normally, when you sell a field without a guarantee, the buyer is taking all the risk. The understanding is, he says, I know that if your creditor shows up to my door, I'm losing everything. So why then is Reuven getting involved? So the Gemara says in the second version, because it doesn't look good on Reuven, right? Because Shimon's going to have complaints against him. Maybe he's going to have no one's going to want to buy from him in the future. It's going to tarnish his reputation, and therefore he feels the need to get involved. Okay, then the Gemara says, V'amar Abaye, Reuven shemachar sada l'shimon shalo ba'achrayas, v'yatzu alav asikin. Anchelo hechzik ba yachol lachzerbo. Misha hechzik ba enu yachol lachzerbo. Mishum de amar le chayisad de kitre svaras vekabila. So the Gemara says the following: Reuven sells a field to Shimon with no guarantee, and then before the transaction is finalized, people start coming forward and saying, "By the way, that land that you just bought from Reuven never really belonged to Reuven in the first place. He stole the land or whatever, something. The land was never really his." So the question is, can Shimon now back out of this deal? So the Gemara says it depends. If he has not yet made a chazaka, he has not yet really formally acquired the land, he was just in transactional talks about it or whatever, so then he can back out. But the moment that he actually acquires, again, we'll see in a second, Gemara, what that point is exactly, but once he actually acquires the land, he can no longer back out. Why can't he back out? Because Reuven can basically say to him, you accepted to buy a bag of knots, which is another way of saying, you should have done more investigation. In other words, the fact that you accepted to buy land from me with no guarantee, that's on you. That's going to be on your head. Then the Gemara says, Ume emas machzik, but at what point do we assume that he acquires the land? Michidayesh amitri. So one shot, in one version of the Gemara is, once he walks around the borders of the land, ikada amre afilu ba'achrayas nami, to amre le achvi tirfach va'ashalim. In the second version of the Gemara, the argument is that even if he bought the land with a guarantee, he can still theoretically back out, because again, normally you'd say, well, if there's a guarantee, then he could just get his money back anyway from Reuven, because in theory, Reuven can say to him, yeah, I'll give you your money back if you show me what's called a shtar tirfa, you show me a document of repossession, if you can prove that the land was repossessed, then I'll pay it back. So even if there was an achrayas, it's not always a guarantee that Shimon will be able to prove that there was. So because of that, Shimon is allowed to back out of the deal, according to the second version, even when there was a guarantee made by Reuven in the first place.